saying nothing, lying where the sun is, baking down upon our sides.
Welcome back to the Bruce Salen Show, A Dad's Point of View. You can email me questions at bruce@brucesalen.com. We have Sherilyn Harley Laban for two segments. I am so excited. She has served as a political appointee in the George W. Bush administration. She does so much else. She's a guest on the Fox News Channel, national broadcast radio shows, and is a contributor to Town Hall and Politicalistas. And you can follow her on Twitter at Harley Laban. That's H-A-R-L-E-Y, capital L-E, capital B-O-N. Hello, Sherilyn.
Great to be with you today. As always, you're one of my favorite people, Bruce.
Well, thank you. And we're going to get to meet, I hope, sometime in the spring, face-to-face.
I
it's
hope
so amazing to have a relationship that I feel is so deep and close, and yet we've never been face-to-face.
Fun. Very fun.
Well, I think I know you. And
you do?
I think I know you. I mean, not obviously intimately. I mean, but I know you professionally. I know your views. And when we talk as often as regularly as we do, I know your values. And so I know without fail that when I meet you, I'm just going to love you even more. So it's not
well,
even
a very kind
in my mind. It'll just add to what we already have. So I was speaking in segment one about that. I'm going to start talking a little bit more, less about parenting and a little bit more about kind of how boomers are going to age. And one of the problems with aging, at least for this guy, is I forget what I had for breakfast, let alone anything that took place, you know, a day or two ago. So I know I spoke to you about doing two different things for our two segments. Can you remind me what the heck it is we were going to talk about?
So we were going to talk about millennials, and then we were also going to talk about some current issues. And I think what you might have wanted to discuss was the whole situation with Obamacare and the recent CBO estimates that have come out.
Okay, so
right?
where would you like to start?
Well, let's talk about the recent CBO estimates because, you know, CBO is an interesting entity,
okay,
right?
Tell everybody, for those who don't know, what the CBO is.
Congressional Budget Office. And okay. Congressional Budget Office is one of these nonpartisan groups. But whenever someone says they're nonpartisan or independent, I automatically feel like they lean left. But here's one consistent thing about CBO. And consistently since the passage of Obamacare, they have continued to make presentations before Congress and educate Congress about how Obamacare is going to cost this much more money than it has originally estimated, and it's going to do this much more than what it originally indicated. And so basically, it continues to educate the American public about how really devastating this bill is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
But the latest, according to their report, which just came out on the 4th, says that Obamacare is going to reduce full-time employment in America by some 2.5 million jobs by the year 2024. Now, some may say, well, this is nothing new. This is what everyone has been saying, or at least on one side of the aisle. Well, you know, every time the CBO comes out with these alarming things, you know, it's almost like you're knocking your head against the wall and you say, but the CBO said this and the CBO said that. Why can't everybody else understand and see how seriously flawed this legislation is?
And why did the CBO come out with numbers one quarter the current this number earlier? So is the CBO even reliable?
I mean...
I believe it's nonpartisan, but how can they be that far off? I understand how Obama and his administration could be off because they're off on everything. But the CBO is supposed to be moderately objective, isn't it?
Right. You know, and it's worse. The 2.4 million is glaring.
It's absolutely worse as they get interpreted.
It's worse.
It's going to be so many multiples of that.
So, you know... And what's heavily impacting these projections It's the number of people. Now, get this, because we're going to get to the law of the law of unintended consequences in a minute. What's heavily impacting the projections are the number of people likely to exercise their choice to cut back on their working hours so that they can avoid the effective, essentially the effective tax on working, which is coming sort of under the guise of reducing their opportunity for maximum government subsidies. So, what does all that mean? It means that Obamacare is again going to create a disincentive, not only to the private sector, and we've discussed at length those issues, you know, people aren't going to be hiring, yada, yada, but now it's the disincentive to individuals, because the more you work, less government subsidies you are going to get.
Now the thing that is completely... Hold on, Sherilyn. Hold on. Okay, so let's get this straight. We're talking about a disincentive to work in an economy where we have a horrific unemployment rate. So that's number one. Yes. Number two, and I got to believe we are in Kafka-esque land. It's 1984, and I cannot believe anybody that has believed in the Obama administration can believe the current spin. I mean, and it's ironic. Our wonderful Nancy Pelosi, who is about as crazy and dumb and ridiculous as any politician I've ever encountered, she expressed a year ago that, you know what's so great about Obamacare? People are going to be able to stay home because they'll be able to get health care and not have to work full time, and they can pursue their dreams of art and charity and goodwill. And I'm thinking, are you kidding me? And now the whole regime, so to speak, is mimicking her nonsense from a year ago and trying to spin the CBO to make it, oh, you can just choose not to work and spend more time with your family. Excuse me?
I mean,
how are they going to pay their bills?
Exactly.
How are they
going to
live their life on 28 hours versus 40 or 50 or 60 that they were working before? I mean, is everybody in this country rich?
Is this, I mean, and essentially, and we've talked about it on your show, is that what you've got is a system that is most definitely headed towards collapse. But isn't this really what they wanted, right? I mean, let's think about it. Isn't this truly what they wanted?
Because
this gets you closer to single payer, right?
Well,
this gets you closer to single payer, right?
Well,
this is
Before we get to single payer, we're going to be bankrupt. And then we have the whole problem, which we're going to take on in the next segment, which is, what is this doing to the next generation? Not just the millennials, but if you're coming up and you're looking for work, we are just not only disincentivizing, but everything about the current system is discouraging being entrepreneurial.
Right.
Starting your own business with so much regulation, anybody. I mean, the guy who created Home Depot, he said he couldn't create Home Depot today with all the regulation.
No, he couldn't. No,
we hear this over and over again, that and any company with more than 20 employees is subject to all of the horror of Obamacare. So,
right.
You know, Target or whichever it was, it started announcing that they're going to cut employees back to part-time. This is going to happen across the board. So those unemployment numbers, okay, yes, maybe it won't be 2.5 million, 20 million people unemployed, but if you have 50 million of the workforce that have gone from 40 or 50 hours a week to 28 or whatever the number is that allows them not to be subject to Obamacare, that's a huge decrease in our national output and income and tax receipts and everything else.
And, I mean, let's just, as we said at the outset, let's just say that it is creating a disincentive for, you know, entrepreneurism, hard work. And again, these are the core tenets of which our country is founded on. And here we're going against the grain of why I think America is so great.
I couldn't agree more. I couldn't agree more. Everything that has come down the path recently seems to be fighting all that has made America unique, singular, and to quote Michael Medved, the greatest nation on God's green earth. There's nothing, you know, I came back from Africa and India, and you know, the horror and poverty that they have over there in the millions and billions, literally, when you include India. And people are still moaning and groaning about unfairness in America and fundamentally right. wanting to change America. Excuse me? I want right. to fundamentally maintain right. America. I want to fundamentally keep us going. And our president wants to fundamentally change it. Oh, by the way, there wasn't a smidgen of corruption in the IRS, but we won't talk about that. I love that. Yeah. There wasn't a smidgen. I am so excited about that. We're nearly out of time, but any final words on this thought, on this subject before we go to the next one after the break?
Well, I think that what parents need to do is, you know, despite what is happening out there, outside in the world, outside in our country, you know, it's almost like we need to create cocoons for our children and say these are the core values which are important to this family. And regardless of what you may hear otherwise and what you may read, these are the core values which are important to our family and important to you growing up to be a self-sufficient individual. So you hold true to those values and those core principles, and that will lead you through the trials and triumphs of life. But we need to arm our children with what will be a significantly different life and country of which I grew up in.
Couldn't agree more. And that's why I often say that parenting today is actually legitimately harder than it ever was, because
Absolutely.
We can't trust the public sphere. We can't trust our politicians. We can't trust our schools. We most certainly can't trust our colleges. Okay, stay tuned. We're going to continue about more about the impact on our kids and their future as far as work after these messages. So stay tuned.
We're like the wind that covers our land, strong enough to rule the heart of any man, this thing called love. It can lift you up. It can let you down. Take your world, turn it all around. Ever since time, nothing's ever been found that's stronger than love.